Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money
at Menards. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor, the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. If you're Android, no more Google Podcasts. So we recommend that you check out Spotify. If you are Apple, Apple Podcasts still works. Also, check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel for all your South Florida content. Off the Floor, that's our new Discord server, $2.99 per month. Link right here in the description on the podcast feed, on the YouTube channel, and pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. This is where you can get away from Twitter and just communicate with Heat fans and with us pretty much all day long. So check it out. Off the Floor, $2.99 per month. It is essential at this point for Heat fans as we head into the draft eventually. We even have a channel for that. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Our friend Nelson, his family, his team over at C-Arm and Staffing.com. It's mobile C-Arm staffing services. They bring the x-ray equipment and the staffing to you if you work in a medical office or know someone who does. This is a great recommendation. 561-891-9620. Again, that's 561-891-9620. They will take care of everything. You can go right there on the website. Again, it's c-armandstaffing.com. Fill out the form, mention Five Reasons. They will take very good care of you when they're not watching the Heat game. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome in on a Saturday morning. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. So we got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. Make sure you check out the episode previewing the Celtics Heat series. What can the Heat do to push the Celtics? I did that one with Brady and Alex yesterday. They'll be back on the postgame show tonight. Just a couple of things if you are listening to this prior to tip today. We will be doing playback during the game, playback.tv/5RSN. That's where you can watch the game with us, chat with us. Both Greg and I will be making appearances on there today, as well as others like Eternal, Naveen, Major, and the rest of the Five Reasons Sports Heat team. Also, after the game, as I mentioned, we'll have a post-game show. We will be hosting that one. That will be live on the YouTube channel, and expect off-day episodes all week. We'll actually have Coach Tony on the podcast at some point this week as well. But we wanted to get you some more content here prior to the game. Greg didn't have a chance to weigh in yesterday when we looked at this series, and we tend to do the narrative stuff here, so we'll get into that here. Also, at the end of this episode, I had a few minutes with DeLon Wright after the win against the Bulls the other night. I got a chance to pull him aside, a little bit of a challenge because locker room was busy. People were taking other people's lockers, like Jovic was doing his availability in front of Highsmith. Highsmith wasn't happy. DeLon and I found a place to do it, and I thought it was a worthy interview because people have been asking why he wasn't playing more, especially now that he's playing so well. So he gets into some of the reasons for that. So we advise you to stick around for the second part of this episode. But Greg, here we are again. We've got four of the last 5 years that they've played this team. Now, they have a rivalry with Milwaukee because they played them so often of late, right? Three times recently. But this is the most they played one team in a stretch like this in the postseason since the Knicks in the late 90s, where they played them in four straight. Every game went to the wire. They were all the storylines with those series. We would always obviously talk about, you know, Pat leaving New York, and then there was Sprewell and Hardaway, who didn't get along in a previous stop, and Larry Johnson and Zoe, who didn't get a previous stop. So there was a lot of stuff that went on in those series. Of course, Zoe, you know, the Van Gundy grabbing Zoe's leg, and PJ Brown and Charlie Ward, which is one of the weirdest fights in history. And yet, in some ways, this has been as interesting, I think.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Right? Like I never thought anything would match that. But the game – here's the difference. This is a first-round series, and it's a 1-8 matchup, and the Heat are the biggest underdog they've been in any series in their history. Okay? They are literally – if you go to the sports books, they're given a 1.2% chance to win this series. Like, I have milk in my fridge that has more – 2% milk, okay? And that has more milk fat than the Heat are given a chance to win this series. But typically, the stakes have been higher. All of those were first-round. These have not – obviously, this is we got a first round one now, but they haven't been. And again, it does seem like the organizations kind of define themselves against each other at this stage, to the point that the Heat were so frustrated when, you know, not the Dame thing, but then Dame gets traded and Drew Holiday goes to Portland. And so where does Portland send Drew? To Boston. And so that's kind of what we're looking at here. Obviously, this is a different series than we've seen before because the Heat are such heavy underdogs. But just put into context kind of what we've seen here over the past 5 years.
I mean, it's the biggest rivalry in Miami Heat history. And it's been the most meaningful rivalry, too. I think that it surpasses the New York Knicks as the biggest rivalry. The tough part about it, though, is that this specific series – I think may lack a little bit more of the flair for a dramatic because the stakes, because they're, you know, heading into game one, 13.5-point underdogs in just game one. It's just there's a little bit of the expectations have kind of washed away for me because there's no Jimmy, and that's a big deal. And so I can't help but just feel like things can change, series can get interesting. But this is if there's ever going to be a series that has maybe a little less of the thematic that the others have had, it's probably this one that we're heading towards right now.
And that is the thing. I mean, we look at the memes. I mean, there was the, you know, see in Boston, you know, from Jimmy on the plane and all that. And you're not going to get any of this. We don't even know if Jimmy's going to be there. Likely he didn't travel with them. He could always join them at some point. And then, like you said, it's not just Jimmy out. I mean, Terry Rozier, who would have been a factor in the series, a former Celtic. We're kind of looking forward to that. We're not expecting him till game three at the earliest. He did travel with the team. I was a little surprised about that. I thought they might leave him back for rehab for this neck injury, which kind of, again, popped out of nowhere, as a lot of these injuries with the Heat have this year, like the hero foot and all that kind of stuff. At least the Jimmy thing, we saw it. Some of these are like, sure. You know, guys sleeping and they get hurt. But I think that we have to put this into context on, you know, what this means for the rivalry and also what it means for the organization and what it means for specific people. And Brady and Alex and I got into this. To me, overall, this is not a what-if season. And I said this on Playback the other day. Like, I see some Heat fans are like, well, what if, you know, they've been, you know, this had happened and that had happened and Jimmy was healthy now. And what if we'd gotten the, you know, he hadn't gotten hurt in the Philly game. And so they finished the Philly game and that Knicks team looks really beatable and all the rest of that. There have been a lot of what-if seasons in Miami Heat history. Okay. I mean, you go all the way back. I mean, to me, the first one that I covered that was certainly a what-if season was 2000-2001, because that was the year that they had reshuffled the deck. They put this really nice team around Zoe with Eddie Jones and Anthony Mason and Brian Grant coming in. And then, you know, Zoe fails a physical preseason and, you know, he doesn't come back till 13 games left in the year. And they'd created this one identity and he came back and the whole thing fell apart and they got swept out by Charlotte. That was a what-if season, okay, for sure. 2005, to me, is a what-if season. They were the best team in the East that year. Dwayne pulls a ribcage muscle in game five, doesn't play in game six, plays poorly in game seven. Stan keeps feeding him the ball. They lose to Detroit. They probably win the championship that year. if he's healthy, they probably win it a year earlier than they did, because I think that San Antonio team, of all the teams that they had, was probably the most beatable. You know, you look at other what-if seasons. You know, I don't look at 2011 as a what-if season because it was there for them, okay? And right. LeBron just bleep the bed, all right? I think 2016 a little bit was a what-if season. Bosh, you know, with the blood clots, goes out, you know, and then they kind of had enough to get to the Eastern Conference Finals anyway. And then, honestly, I know we hate to say this, but Whiteside got hurt. And then they were playing Justice Winslow at center at the end of that series against Toronto, and Kyle Lowry sent them into the into the offseason. So to me, that was a bit of a what-if season. And then even there were other ones on a smaller scale, like the 30-11. That team wasn't winning a championship, but literally if Deion doesn't get hurt in the last 2 weeks of that year, sprains his ankle, they probably get one more win, and they at least would have made the playoffs. And who knows with that team? That team was so weird with what they were doing that year, with a 13-game winning streak and everything else, that maybe they actually win a couple of rounds. Those are all what-if seasons, and so is 2020, okay, in the sense of what if Dragic doesn't get hurt in the finals? What if Bam doesn't get hurt in the finals, right? But this is not. This, no matter what happens in this series, Greg, they put themselves in this position.
You're right.
Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. Even like the season where Jimmy missed the three, that's a what if season to me to some degree, because it's just like, what if that 1-3 goes in? This, they have their own circumstances are based off of their own actions in terms of how they've played, how they approach the regular season, for better or worse. There were moments where you could see flashes, and I think we all know what this team is made up of, because you saw them, you know, this same group. This core group has been comprised of deep playoff runs. So we all expected it to show itself at some point, and it didn't. And although they had a better record than they did the year prior, they had just as many of the same struggles, and a lot of it was self-imposed. And so that's like a situation where it's not a what-if season for me either. The Jimmy part of the injury thing, I guess you could lean into what if Jimmy was available now, but they'd still be huge underdogs. They still would be probably the biggest first round underdog of all the series. So to me, it's just a different Heat team at a different moment in time. And that's something that the organization will have to evaluate this summer in terms of, like, did you shift further away from the path than maybe you thought you did, and you need to find reinforcements, et cetera. So it's a different time, and it's not a what if season like those others were. I mean, just you think about Goran getting hurt and Bam getting hurt, or Jimmy missing that three. Those are what if moments. This is not a what if moment.
Well, I think it can be what if you feel like a team maximized itself prior to something going bad, right? Like, that's how I view it. Like that 2020 team in the bubble, they maximized. They squeezed everything they could out of that run. And then, oh, Goran, like the guy who along with Jimmy kind of propelled the run, he's hurt, and now Bam's hurt. Like that, you get it. Like, you know, you put a team together in that offseason of 2000, and like, this is the new team around Zoe, and you're going to capitalize on this great season that Zoe had, and then Zoe gets sick. Or you finally rebuild the thing after LeBron leaves, and you've got something built with Bosh and Dragic and Wade, and then Bosh goes out. Like, that's all, like, that's stuff that's out of your control. Like, that is out of your control. What was in this organization's control this last offseason was to upgrade the roster. We talked about it. They tried to do certain things. Certain things didn't happen. They did upgrade it during the season, and Terry hasn't been entirely healthy. I mean, it just seems like one thing has gone wrong after another. But, you know, this is a team that if they had won a Washington game, if they had won a Memphis game, they get out of the play-in, and Jimmy never plays in that game.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, we can say, okay, he could have gotten hurt any time. That's true. The universe works in strange ways. You never know what it could have happened. You know, one thing doesn't necessarily lead to another. But we just know that it happened in that game that they shouldn't have been playing. That this team should not have been playing. Because I'm watching that Orlando-Cleveland game yesterday, and I'm like, come on. Like, seriously. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, these teams are not better than Miami at this stage. They don't have higher expectations than Miami at this stage. Cleveland literally, you know, dropped a game so that they would have to get out of a certain bracket, because all they care about is getting a first round win. That's it. Okay. And Orlando, literally, if they get a first round series win and get swept by Boston, that will be an ultimate success for that organization from where it's been and what it's trying to build towards. Miami should not be below those teams in their class, let alone below those teams. This team has higher aspirations than that. They were further along in a build, and so they should not have been in that game. So I can't give them that. What I'm looking for right now, okay, though, is I'm looking for, first thing, I want to see fight. All right, I want to see fight. We know what's against them. A lot of them have a chip on the shoulder right now. Good. Sometimes this organization is better. Their coach is better when he has less to work with. We've talked about that a lot. So I want to see fight. I want to see. I want to see them totally unfazed and not scared. And that again starts with a coach. I try everything. I said this in the last podcast. Treat these like individual play-in games. This is not a series where you're like, okay, I got to hold this back for game six or game seven. There's probably not going to be one. Just try to get a game. Like, throw the kitchen sink out to get a game. Zone, junk it up, this rotation, that rotation. Close with DeLon Wright. Whatever it is, okay, just get a game and then kind of see if you can get another game. And that's kind of where – I know people say one game at a time, but I don't think most NBA teams and coaches really look at it that way. They do look at it in the context of a total series. You're right. This case, you don't. This is not a series. This is a series of individual games.
Because you're just trying to survive, you know?
That's it.
I also think that there's a part of this where you shouldn't hold back on minutes. I think Bam should play heavy minutes. Tyler should play heavy minutes. I really want to see Tyler Hero in a playoff atmosphere. If you're talking about things I'm taking away from this series, at least we get to watch Tyler and Bam and kind of what Jaime's going to look like, Nico's going to look like. There are things to watch for in this series. Big game moments for all of those guys is good. I mean, Bam's been in a ton of them, but everybody else we need to further evaluate. But they're in a tough position right now, and my expectations are probably as low for a Heat playoff series as they've been maybe since before game one of last playoffs.
The mine are even lower, but they're not lower in the sense of that I don't think this is going to be worth watching. I do think it's worth watching because of the four guys you mentioned, but not individually, collectively. Because technically, that's the core going forward, right? One or two of those guys could be moved, you know, particularly, obviously, Tyler would be foremost among them. But, you know, when they talked about their future build, which, you know, it has to be post-Jimmy at some point, right? And I would expect Jimmy to be playing less games and declining more as he goes forward. It's just that's age. That's what happens. But it was always described to me as, this is about halfway through the season, as, you know, the build was Bam, Tyler, Hawkes, and maybe Nico. And now we're at a point where, well, actually.
All four are starting.
Right. All four are starting. And the fifth guy who's starting is a guy whose contract is up after this year and who has had an up and down season in Caleb Martin. And maybe you get to keep him for less now, possibly, or maybe you just move on from him. But it's essentially like you're throwing your future out there and saying, OK, what do you got? And that's to me, that's what this series is about. Now you're going to a hostile environment. You got a chip on your shoulder. Okay, can Tyler create when all of this, you know, defensive attention is going to be on him? Can Bam make plays down the stretch, and can he demand the ball when he needs to, now that Jimmy is not there? Hawkes, we've seen him kind of bust through the rookie wall now. All right, so we call him Jaime, you know, Jimmy Jr. and all the rest of that. All right, fine. Is there a little bit more to his game? Can he start hunting the mismatches in this? And I said this on the podcast with Brady and Alice. I think that Jovic is the wild card here. And I forgot who tweeted this yesterday. It might have been John Jablanka. But, like, he hardly played against the Celtics this year, and it was all garbage time. Like, they don't really have any tape on him as far as what he does against them.
Next to Bam.
To me, he's the secret weapon in this series. Okay, we know what he can do with the ball in his hands. We just don't get to see it very often. So why not put it there?
I think you bring up a great point about this being something where it's not about individual performances. It's about seeing how they play as a collective, because this is a group that, like, you fit together to complement one another. And they're getting an earlier than expected moment in the playoffs to try to figure out how to gut out a victory as a unit, because you're not going to will yourself to win. Like, an individual is not going to will this team to win against Boston, particularly up in Boston. It's going to be a team effort. You shoot the lights out. Caleb Martin's going to have to be game seven Caleb from jump. Yeah. Like, that's the kind of stuff you're going to need. And so it is really an interesting moment where you do get to evaluate a lot of the pieces that Miami's going to have to make tough decisions on this summer.
And that's why I would like to see Rozier come back in this series. It's not because I think they have a chance to win it necessarily. It's because, okay, now take Caleb out of the mix, put Rozier in that starting lineup. What is, if we're looking at a post-Jimmy era, I mean, Terry's got 2 years left on his contract, right? All of these guys are signed, okay? So, and Bam's going to get that extension. So, like, what is a Rozier, Hero, Hakez, Jovic, Bam lineup look like? We haven't, you know, obviously, look, and nobody is pushing Jimmy out the door. There's going to be conversations about that extension for sure. And I know there have been. and that's going to be a topic that we get into a lot. Like, how far out do you go with Jimmy at the max, and how much do you count on him and all the rest? But I do think that if you see Terry come back, if they can maybe extend this series to five, let's say Terry comes back in game three, they got a three-game sample size to take a look at what that starting lineup looks like. It gives you a better idea of the future. And I'm not saying that will be the starting lineup going forward, or again, that Jimmy's getting pushed out, but that's a five-man unit that we could see playing a lot together as we go there. And again, this gives people an opportunity to show other elements of their game. So this is not sunshine pumping. I don't think that they, you know, I agree with the 98.9% this time. Like, I don't know a way that you beat this team in this context without, you know, the guy who, even though he has struggled in the clutch this year, has been your closer against this team. Like, I just don't know how you do it. And I'm not, you know, we came up with all kinds of different ways to junk it up and all that. But to me, that's to win a game. It's not to win a series. But I do think that this is instructive for the Heat, not to say, okay, we don't need reinforcements. They do, okay? And I think they know that. Not to say, okay, we're not going to at least make a run at a guy like Donovan Mitchell or somebody like that. No, I don't think anything in the series is going to change that. But I do think at least it gives you the context of, all right, if we can't get a guy like that, if we have to reshape in a different way, what do our young guns look like? And what as Bam is the oldest of them, you know, what is the next era of Heat basketball? So I think that's why this series was important, and that's why I wanted them to win the game against Chicago, and that's kind of where I'm at. Before we get to the DeLon Wright interview, any other thoughts? I mean, this is the time for a guts check typically before a playoff series. I mean, what are the guts about at this point?
Can the Heat get a game? That's the guts, especially on the road. It would be nice to just get one up in Boston, shut that crowd up for one game. But otherwise, I'm not going to sunshine pump this as some sort of series that the Heat can win. It does not look like they have enough. And, you know, they kind of sometimes they excel in that way when they're backed in a corner. And that'll mean they get two games in this series. If you talk about excelling when your back's in the corner. I just don't see how you turn around a 64-win team. And also one just through the metrics, Brian Windhorst was quoting this the other day that, you know, they're one of the four or five best teams ever if you look at a lot of offensive and defensive metrics. So I don't agree with that, but that's what the numbers say currently. So we'll see. I'd say let's go Heat, go get two games, and you got to feel pretty damn good about how this series went, frankly.
I feel you on that. I just want to see Boston crack once or twice. That's it. I want to see the Heat force them to crack. Like, I feel like that would be satisfying. Heat fans should be prepared. Nobody but us is going to talk about the Heat. If the Celtics drop a game in this series, it's going to be wall-to-wall, what's wrong with Boston? Nobody's going to give the Heat any credit for it. It's just the nature of this thing. Then they'll start complaining that the fans arrive late in Miami and all the rest of that bullshit that was out there this week. I just want to see him compete. I want to see him fight. I want to see what the chemistry looks like between these young guys. I want to see how they handle things when things go wrong, because that's going to happen. The playoffs tell. But I think in this case, it can only really tell you good things about this team. It's going to be hard to criticize anybody. And I hope, honestly, that doesn't happen. If guys are going out of their comfort zones because they don't have Jimmy, don't have Rozier, maybe don't have Duncan. Okay, we're still waiting on that. Certainly don't have Duncan at 100%. And they fail trying to do something different. That's the discourse on Twitter that I'm going to fight back against.
Agreed.
Because they shouldn't be in that position, right? They shouldn't be in that position. But if we get to see Jovic run some stuff, okay, get to see, you know, Hawkes, taking Jaylen Brown down low, okay, and scoring over him and all the rest of that stuff, that's going to be good, I think, for Heat fans. I think going into the offseason, it's like, all right, we have some pieces here, whether they're for us or for another team. We have some pieces here, and I think at least that'll be a positive way to end what has been a very frustrating season. I think both of us would agree. All right, somebody who's not been frustrating to watch lately is DeLon Wright. After a word from about our next sponsor, we'll get to that interview. Our next sponsor, of course, is Water Cleanup of Florida. You can find him at WCUFL.com. It's WCUFL.com. Michael Robert and his team, they'll take good care of you. They got all those 5-star Google reviews. They're based in Boca Raton. They service the entire Tri-County area. You know all of that. If you've got a leak in your home or business anywhere, reach out to them. They'll take care of it right away for you so you don't have to deal with insurance companies afterwards. Of course, if there is damage, they can do that too. WCUFL.com. Water Cleanup of Florida. Make sure you mention 5 reasons. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
And now, my conversation, moving around lockers. That's why we had to stop a couple of times with DeLon Wright.
I just want to ask you, you come here and then it took you a little bit of time to kind of get minutes.
Right.
Is this gratifying for you now to be in this position where you've been contributing lately and now you have a playoff series to look forward to?
Yeah, definitely. It was a little rocky when I first got here with the minutes and just trying to figure out the system and rotations. But now that we got into the playoffs, it is gratifying. Of course, playing a little better. You know, I'm hitting a few of my shots now and just being more disruptive. So it's definitely gratifying, and it's like solidifying, you know, my reason of coming here, you know, after leaving Washington.
You talk about it being rocky up and down with the minutes. Yeah. I know Patty came in and then he was getting some of that. So what do you think it is that kind of got you in Spo's sight line here to be a regular in the rotation?
Kevin's about to get
Kevin taking all my space. Yeah. Wait, you said,
what do you think it was that kind of got you sort of in Spo's sights?
Yeah, come on.
I feel like when guys went out, Terry went out. I think Duncan was out. I got to play. I forgot what game it was, but he plugged me. He was like switching me and Patty, and I guess he liked what he see when I was in with H in that second game.
Because you had a strong game in Sacramento, right?
Yeah,
when
yeah.
you first, I mean,
when I first got here,
and then we didn't see you for 2 weeks.
It was rough. A lot of. I was down on, I wouldn't say down on myself, but it was tough to play good. And then I think I got like 7 DMPs. Then I played another 3 games and I got like 4 DMPs. So it was definitely tough. But a lot of people told me just stay ready. My brother was like, stay ready. Your time will come back around. I didn't see it at first because I'm like, everybody's coming back.
Right.
And then a few more injuries happened and I was able to get back into the rotation.
Because it seemed like the defensive stuff you were comfortable from the very beginning.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
So was it just like offensive system? Because you've been very low turnover since you've come, which is a good thing. They value that. So
yeah, I mean, because, you know, in this offense, I'm not really a ball handling hog. I'm kind of like playing the dunker, being a second, ball handler. So my turnovers are going to be low because I'm not, you know, handling that much. I'm not playing as much. But so that's what I have to figure out. I think to shoot more. You know, everybody's been telling me, shoot the ball. And I'm like, a little hesitant, but once I've seen a few.
Were you told that in other places? Because you haven't been in a catch and shoot position for the most part in the other places you've been.
When I was playing with Luca, it was similar. He was on the ball and they wanted me to catch and shoot, but I wasn't comfortable. I wanted to get guys involved, but in the system I'm in, the position I'm put in, I have to be ready to shoot, and if I don't have a shot, move the ball, attack.
this Boston matchup. They don't have like one guard who has the ball in his hands all the time. It kind of spread it out.
Yeah.
Obviously, Drew will have it some, and then Jason and Jalen will have it also. Where do you see, like, defensively? Like, what is, if you get opportunities in this series, what is the primary focus against a team that's that diverse?
From my recollection of playing them, they're a lot of one-on-one team. Like, not in a bad way. Like, they're attacking first, and then they move the ball. So you have to initially guard them when you're bringing the ball to court. And, you know, everybody has to be around you to help. Because initially they're going to attack you first, and then they don't have that, they're going to get off of it. So that's my recollection. So just being able to guard them one-on-one, you know, guard your yard, as coaches say. And after that, have your teammates help you.
When we were you were on the podcast with us, and we were talking about the possibilities of you with that guy at the top of the zone. Without giving away too much game plan, it would seem to me that that might be a way to attack a team like this with ball pressure and that kind of stuff. I mean, have you enjoyed the opportunities you've got kind of to do that with him?
When I first got here, it was tiring. Like, I was tired. I didn't really buy in as much as I see the vision now.
Mm-hmm.
But at first, I wasn't in great shape. So when I was in the zone, I was like, I just want to play man. But now I see what it does to teams. I know what it feels like to be on the other side of that. Mm-hmm. You know, you see guys run up there in that press. It's like, you don't want to be pressed. You know, it's the NBA. Like, this is in college. So guys, mentally, it takes a toll on you mentally.
You said you were in great shape. There is such a thing as NBA shape, and then there's heat shape.
Yes. Yes, no, for sure.
And you've noticed the difference.
Heat shape is me and H at the top of that zone, moving around, chasing guys. That's like real shape. So when I first got here, it was tough. I couldn't, you know, that was probably why I was struggling too. My legs were hurting me. I wasn't playing much in Washington. And now that I'm, you know, finding a rhythm, I know, you know, what they expect from me. It's been a lot easier.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.